This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Royal Daltons with Michael and Glenn on Joy 94.9.
Oh, hello, Michael Dalton.
Hello there, Glenn Dalton.
How on earth are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Royal Daltons.
Yeah, afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
On this glorious day.
What a load of crap,
11
isn't
degrees.
It? Unbelievable.
Mm.
Morning, you know, I listened to the rain. Oh, God.
You don't like that?
I really do not.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I quite like listening to the rain when I'm in bed, not when I'm walking down the street.
No, I thought, what is this now?
Well, it's cleared up now, I think. The rain has at least.
Wind and everything.
Yeah.
My word.
I know. What
rattling
is going on?
Your windows.
Isn't it ridiculous?
I don't like it.
Someone said to me this morning at the gym that they slept with the window open and the wind was so much that the curtains were horizontal. I said, wasn't it cold?
Aren't you? What, are you an idiot?
Exactly.
No.
Go and live in a fridge, for God's sake.
No windows open. We have to have one in the bathroom open.
Because of the
you know, letting this steam out.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot showers.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yes, no.
No, I don't like this and I don't like winter.
No.
But I'm not allowed to go away anymore.
Well, not for a couple of months.
No. I'm back now, not
going
away.
It's good to have you back.
It's nice to be. It really is. I mean, you know, Melbourne's Melbourne, isn't it? In bad weather or not.
Yes.
I love it.
You heard
obviously,
it.
This is where I want to live.
You heard it here on the Royal Daltons. Melbourne's Melbourne.
Well, I'm going to get bumper stickers done.
Melbourne's Melbourne.
Yeah, and it's, I think, you know, what is it, Victoria, the Garden State, I think, you know,
yeah,
Melbourne.
It was,
yeah. I think, yeah, whatever it is now.
I don't know what it is.
We're in the safe state or something.
We're in the shit
house. Yeah, we owe you money. but Melbourne's Melbourne is a good one.
Melbourne's Melbourne. All right. Get on to your old
Maybe,
mate, Robert Doyle.
Well, exactly. Or, no, it's a premiere, isn't it?
Dan Andrews.
Yeah, Dan.
Get
Dan
on to
the man.
Dan, yeah.
But we'll ask maybe other people got some ideas.
Yeah, what could be a good Melbourne slogan?
Yeah.
All right, all we've got now is Melbourne's Melbourne.
Oh, we've got to talk about the fact that Victoria might have to give back that money.
Oh, the East West League money?
Yes.
What's going to go on there?
We'll have to chip in, won't we?
Do you reckon?
Well, it won't be. He hasn't got it.
What are you going to do when they come knocking?
Well, give them something. Well, won't be money.
See how we go.
All right, you're on the Royal Daltons. Glenn and Michael.
Oh, listen. To the Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Ah, yes, it's lovely to have your company wherever you may be. We were asking earlier about what the things that we could do to make Melbourne even more special.
Mm.
What's Melbourne's catchphrase?
Well, if you were going to put it on a bumper sticker or on a number plate, what would you do? You said Melbourne's Melbourne.
Yeah, which probably isn't great.
We could maybe it's a good start.
it's a good start. You were going to say, I think we could do better, and I think you're right.
I changed it, though.
No, but you were right.
Mm,
you were right.
It's a good start. Yeah.
So if people have got any ideas, well, you know. Because
there have been things like Melbourne on the move.
Right.
Melbourne the place to be.
Okay.
Melbourne.
Were they not Victoria? No.
I guess it is Victoria. Yeah.
Because it's a big old, you know, it's not just all about Melbourne.
No, that's right.
Got all those country people.
Yeah, the Garden State. I always found that a little bit weird.
Mm.
The Garden State.
It's a bit naff, isn't it? It's a bit Adelaide.
It's a bit Adelaide, yeah, exactly. You know, what do they mean by that?
I love Adelaide, by the way.
I said to my mum, why is it the Garden State? She said, because there's lots of trees.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. but no, they've got to do better. I mean, I was in America, and you mentioned, obviously, people always immediately go away from Sydney.
Do they?
Yeah.
Right. You should, yeah.
And I said, no, Melbourne. And I can't even remember who it was now. Oh, really?
Oh.
I was like, what?
Yes,
Excuse me. You know, I suppose I know it's rude, but isn't Sydney a bit more vibrant and happening? I said, look, it might have used to have been like that, but not anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, we love going to Sydney.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Well, I always say, look, I love to visit Sydney, but no, I couldn't live there. Love living in Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I would have said, you're in LA, why not New York?
Well, I didn't want to be controversial.
Mm, surprising.
I know. I was jet lagged, I was
like, didn't think of it.
I went to Disneyland.
So, yeah, tell me about this.
Oh, that was lovely. It's a magical place, isn't it?
Right. And was there, you know, paint the picture. I've never been.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, I was lucky because my mate works for Disney.
Yeah.
So we
this
didn't
was
have to...
someone you didn't know. You just got on Grindr in the morning when you got there and suddenly said, can you let me in for free?
And now we're intimate. Yeah, exactly.
Good on you.
I didn't even know his name, so all day I was quite embarrassed. No, I've known him for years.
Right.
Stop it now with your talk. Foolery.
Whatever.
So it's nice having to line up and do all that
sort
of stuff.
Yeah, you hate a line.
Well, you know, and then so we get in and you just sort of walk around and, you know, look at stuff. It's really, really busy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of, you know, families.
Mm.
And we went on a couple of rides.
Yeah, what'd you go on?
The House of Terror, I think it's called. Yeah. I think, you know, and it just, you sit in this thing and it just drops and,
is
you know,
it anything
goes
apart. Like that thing you go on at the beginning of Dracula's, the theatre restaurant?
It is a little bit like
I
that.
So. I always imagined it would be.
I loved that. It's amazing. but it was just nice.
Yeah. Do you go into, I know that there's like, you know, big Mickey Mouse walking around, that kind of thing. Did you?
Well, yes. They all walk around and you can get a picture with them, which I'd done 25 years ago.
You didn't want to get a I Wore It Better?
No. I thought no, because I'm still haunted by those pictures from the last time.
Yeah, you probably lost weight since that picture,
though.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
You look better now.
I do. I did get one with Oswald.
Oh, right.
Do you know who Oswald is?
God, remind me.
Oswald was Walt's very first incarnation of what Mickey was going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what, they have an Oswald walking around?
Yes.
Does anyone know who Oswald is?
Well, my mate did, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But,
and no one else wanted to be with Oswald.
No, there was a little bit of a line. Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, it wouldn't be the same line as Mickey, would it?
No, of course not.
That's the way it goes. It's show business.
Mm.
But, you know, I had a picture with him.
Good on you.
Because he looks like a sort of ferreted version of Mickey.
Really?
And I like that.
I think you should put it on the Royal Dolphins Facebook page.
Well, it was my profile pic for a while, so why not? I could pop it up.
Exactly.
Why not?
Should.
Give it another airing.
Why not?
You know?
Get another couple of likes or two, you know?
That's what it's all about.
Exactly. People need to realise this. Yes. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just a really, really nice trip. I'll tell more about it as we go along.
Indeed. You are with the Royal Daltons on Joy
90. You're listening to the Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, great to have your company on your Wednesday afternoon. It's Glenn and it's Michael.
We've got guests in, haven't we?
We do indeed. These guys are all part of a production called The Rivers of China, which is about to open at Theatre Works in St Kilda.
We love that venue.
We do indeed. We've got no doubt, no less than the director, Phil Rouse, and one of the lead actors, James Cook. Welcome to the Royal Daltons, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, The Rivers of China, we're going to start with you, Phil, because you've directed this. The Rivers of China is, can I describe it as an obscure piece?
Yeah, it's obscure in two senses. One is that most people don't. I have never heard of it.
Yeah.
And it's also obscure in its dramaturgy, but not so, it's not so scary in that way. But like what it is, it's a play about Catherine Mansfield, who was a famous Lederreiter, as I'm quoting it in Russian, because that's what how someone puts it.
What is that then?
Pardon?
She's just a writer. She was
a short story writer from New Zealand in the early 20s.
Okay.
And she died of tuberculosis in 1923. And we, so half the play is set around her going to see this fabulous G.I. Gurdjieff, who's a mystic healer, and she was convinced that her tuberculosis was because her soul was unwell and not actually her body, and so she needed to go and cure her
did
soul.
Did this stuff actually happen to
her?
This
is real.
Yeah. So she did go to see a witch doctor.
Basically, and so there was... went and had all these sort of lessons with him and trying to get better. She did eventually just die of tuberculosis with him.
So it didn't work.
Didn't work.
Well, you know, they very rarely do.
Well,
you know, in my experience.
Yes.
All the witch doctors I've seen have always taken my money and just not given me anything back.
I've felt wronged.
And so that's one half of the play. And the other half is the part that that James plays, which is in an alternative present world set in contemporary Melbourne.
Ah.
A man wakes up after an accident, possibly a suicide attempt. It's never clear. And he wakes up after having his face reconstructed, and he believes that he's Catherine Mansfield.
Right. And is this set in modern-day Melbourne? Like, is this, you know, 100 years later?
Yeah. It's an alternative version of Melbourne. It's an alternative world in which women have all of the power. and men are oppressed.
Oh.
I don't like so this. All I of don't the gender want to live there.
Surely that depends what day of the week it is.
So what's happened is that this man wakes up into this world. You follow the very unfortunate soul of Catherine Mansfield, who goes from a 1920s oppressed world where she is repressed in her writings and all of that kind of thing. And then she wakes up in a world as a man where he's repressed again.
Right.
Women, the reason why that has changed...
Right.
The reason why that has changed is because women have had an evolutionary leap called the Medusa look, whereby they can turn men to stone with their eyes, thus overcoming the idea of sort of male violence and physical dominance being the key reason why men, why our patriarchy exists the way it does.
So, James, does your character then suddenly walk around riddled with fear that he's going to be turned into stone if he... annoys a woman.
What's funny about the character is that he's convinced that it's all part of the hypnotherapy that she's been going through with Gurdjieff.
Right.
So she, as I call her, never really goes through any of the modern gender politics stuff, isn't really interested because it's all an illusion and all part of the training that she's going under with Gurdjieff.
Okay. Now, it's been done, I think we said earlier, it's been done somewhere else. Where was it done?
It was originally done in 88, which is when the play was first premiered at the Sydney Theatre Company.
All right, I guess so they didn't do an alternative world in Melbourne then, did they?
No.
They would never.
No, never. Well,
it would have been 80s Sydney.
Yeah, 80s yes. Sydney, because it says specifically in the place and town that the show is put on.
Right.
So it was, and then in the same year it was done at the MTC, but a different production that Simon Phillips directed. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's never had another professional outing.
Right.
And sort of been, not relegated, but done only in sort of first-year university students.
So why now? Why? What led to
you?
Yeah,
why are we bringing back the
this?
Rivers of China?
Absolutely. I think the two things. One is it's such a it's a play of such great imagination.
Yes.
And incredible beauty. The reason for I think, and to me, I think beauty can be its own reason. It has wonderful gender politics, and it's a very intelligent examination of power leading violence and what that tussle means, which is a really interesting debate, and people are talking about that a lot online and what they want their world to be in. Mm-hmm. And so here's a person examining, well, what's an extreme version of a particular type of this thing? Mm. And so I think it's a really great discussion point. But for me, the heart and soul of it is that it's an astonishingly beautiful story of somebody who is fighting to write in the face of literal death.
Right.
I love that. I love theatre where there's like an individual struggle slash message, and also a much more broader political, satirical almost message that kind of comes through, and that sounds like this does capture both of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you read it and it's a very intelligently written, very erudite script. And then you, as we've discovered, as we've been working, you get down to it and it's just about people needing things and wanting something from their life and for their life to mean something.
Yeah. I think what's beautiful about it is that, on the surface level, it's very political. There's a lot of issues going on that you can wade into. But then as an actor, once you get into it, you realize it's actually this beautiful human struggle about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a play about people. And all of the issues about gender politics are just sort of there and exist for the audience, but as an actor it's not really.
Yeah, but it's not only women, is it? Because I don't reckon there's a day goes by where I don't give somebody the Medusa look. I reckon.
No, absolutely. You know.
Yeah,
there we go.
I've just got it then.
Yeah.
Well, it's all happening at TheatreWorks. It kicks off on the 20th of May, so this weekend, and runs through to the end of the month. If you want more info, go to theatreworks.org.au. It's called The Rivers of China. Get around it.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Wonderful.
Lovely, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Virginia Gay.
And I'm not the only gay who likes listening to the Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Hey, good to have your company. Glenn and Michael with you on your Wednesday afternoon.
And this is the last chance to win the album by Stan Walker. You've got to get that in right now.
Yep, just write Stan in an SMS to 0427 Joy 949 or email honor at joy.org.au.
Yes, we've got a guest, haven't we?
We do indeed. We were talking that we're going to go all highbrow.
Okay. Which, we do it often.
Which won't surprise regular listeners of this show because it basically is what we are.
Yes, exactly.
This man is a part of the Madama Butterfly production, which is put on by Opera Australia. It's running at the moment. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely loved it.
You raved about it, didn't you?
Yes. Michael Honeyman, welcome to the Royal Daltons.
Thank you, Michael Glenn.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
I love that name, Michael Honeyman.
I'm a sweet guy, apparently.
Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, no.
Have you been saying that all your life?
I wasn't until a taxi driver said it to me once. And and then I was a group of friends, all called Michael.
Right.
And they had to distinguish us some way. Okay. And so I became the sweet guy.
Oh.
And what led the taxi driver to
say that? Yeah.
Oh, well, he asked my name, Honey Man. Oh, you must be a sweet guy.
Did you have to give him money at the end or was there?
No freebies.
Okay.
Not in Sydney, no.
Oh, yeah. Now, you are a Sydney guy, but you're in Melbourne at the moment for this production of Madama Butterfly. People don't know. It's one of the world's most performed and famous operas, but for people who don't know, what's it about?
Look, it's a love story, an unrequited love story between an American naval officer who is traveling abroad, meets a beautiful young geisha, but he's only in it for one season, and she believes in the whole fake marriage that he puts her through in order to have his way with her.
Why did they get married?
It was the custom at the time, around that time where the opera was set. It was the custom for naval officers to marry the geishas in order to have a long-term affair while they were traveling.
Right.
And this young geisha is a little bit clueless. Men.
Oh, they're pigs.
They're pigs. So this geisha is a little bit clueless and waits for him for 3 years to come back because that's when he said he would come back. Mm. And it all ends in tragedy at the end.
Oh, well, they normally do, don't they? Operas.
It's opera. It's grand opera. Always tragedy. Yeah.
Now, what is it like to be in this production, and how on earth did you become involved? How did you become an opera
singer? It's a big one, isn't it? It's obviously done on a big scale, isn't it?
This is... Actually, it's a fairly intimate opera, this one, but the orchestra is very grand.
As you
said,
the
voices
venue's
have
not
to be
intimate.
Grand. And that's not an intimate venue at all. That's probably one of the biggest opera theatres in Australia,
it's amazing,
Arts Centre. It's huge.
Yeah.
And that pit is very open, so it's very bright, and it's quite a bit of a sing to get over that sound. But it's also beautiful music, so I love being involved in that. Look, I'm a resident singer with Opera Australia, so I'll usually be in something at various times of the year. But my voice is very suited to singing Verdi and Puccini. Mm. So that's why I've been cast as this empathetic character of Sharpless.
Tell us about your character.
He's the American consul. He's a guy who says, hey, look, I think she believes this is real. Watch out. She thinks this wedding is for real. And at the end, I get to say, I told you so to him, which is very satisfying. But I also have to be the one to give the news to Madame Butterfly that, hey, he's coming back with...
With somebody else.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned just before we went on air that if you've never been to the opera, this might be a good one to go to begin with, isn't it?
It is a very good opera for a beginner to go to see. It's a very naturalistic style of acting and production. The music's very lush and very accessible. And, of course, there's the big arias that most people will recognise that Madame Butterfly sings, Un Bel Dì especially.
I beg your pardon?
Un Bel Dì is the name of the aria in the second half that starts it.
That starts the second half. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned that, didn't you? So it is amazing to open up with that in the beginning.
It's brilliant.
Obviously,
they're written in Italian, but that doesn't matter because there's subtitles.
Is there?
Mm. There is subtitles, or subtitles. Above.
And your glasses.
Yeah.
Take your glasses if you're going to go.
Yes, take your glasses. I always have to. Otherwise, I fall in the pit. And actually, I love taking new people to the opera, and I actually talked to my personal trainer to see Carmen at last year, and they were there for 15 minutes before they saw the subtitles up above.
Oh, really?
So the wife went, hey, look.
It's written up there.
And they didn't even know there was going to be a story, and it was actually theatre. They were expecting a concert, and they were just
personal
amazed.
Personal trainer.
Yeah, say no more.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, really got me intelligent and fit.
Stick around, Michael, because we need to hear a little bit more about you coming up right after this.
The Royal Daltons with Michael and Glenn on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, good to have your company. Indeed, it is National Volunteer Week.
Yes, I've never met a less judgmental place in all my life. It's wonderful. Yeah, it's why it's good. It's why we love it, isn't it?
Exactly right.
You know, Wednesdays are different.
Well, between 4 and 7, it's full of judgment, but, you know, that's what we do, isn't it?
Yes. Now,
it's all about light and shade.
It really is. We want to ask, Michael Honeyman is with us, and did you always want to do opera?
No.
What
no.
did you want to do?
Because
your voice, even on the radio, sounds like it resonates, doesn't it?
Definitely.
There's something about opera singers
when they talk. I know, it's terrible.
No, it's wonderful.
I had no idea what I wanted to be. I tried singing. I was told there was not wasn't going to happen when I was 17.
Oh, really?
I tried composition.
Where are they now? Yeah. The people that told you that you weren't going to work as a singer?
They're still in academia, of course.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Under a bus.
Yeah. Pointless jobs.
Tried composition. Wanted to be an avant-garde composer. That lasted about 3 months. It's too solitary and I would sit myself in a room doing
that. We like to be with a group.
Exactly. And then I tried a whole heap of jobs, travelled a bit, fell into banking. And so I ended up being a banker until I was 30.
Wow.
Luckily enough, I was
bored. Now, when you were at work, did you ever belt out a couple of...
No, but my neighbours were really annoyed with me because I couldn't stop humming or whistling while I was at the computer desk.
Yes, that would get on my nerves.
Definitely.
I hate both of those things.
Yeah.
The whistle and hum.
Whistling and humming.
Wow.
But fortunately, because I was a little bit bored and was looking for something extracurricular to do, I joined the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir.
Oh, they're brilliant.
And they were brilliant. They were lots of fun. They were just off the back of a really important tour of Europe with a political
piece. So you missed
that
one.
So I just missed that. And then they went to a series of show tune-based choral arrangements,
well, you
which
made
was lots
it
of fun.
Exactly the right time.
God, I wish I was part of that.
And then in 2000, we, as part of the Olympic Arts Festival in Sydney, we did a collaboration with Sydney Dance Company, Graham Murphy's group there.
Fantastic.
And I met some dancers and I realised, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can go out there and be an artist. No, like, I don't want to be a dancer. Mm. But, you know, they were ordinary
people. And
then
you left the bank.
So I left the bank. I started from scratch. I went back to university, got a music degree, and the more that I sang, the more I was encouraged to keep going. I was offered a scholarship to a full-time practical training studio for 2.5 years in Perth.
Wow.
Straight after the degree, and then came back and worked in a call centre.
That's the nature of any beast, isn't it, in this industry?
But after 2 or 3 years looking at that, I got noticed and... You know, I've only been doing principal roles for about 3 to 5 years now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they're loving you, obviously.
Indeed. Mm. Well, Madame Butterfly is playing at the Arts Centre all the way through to the end of the month. So make sure you get your tickets. There's also a couple of other productions as a part of Opera Australia at the moment. There's Don Carlos opens next week and Don Giovanni opened earlier this week.
On Monday.
Yeah. Yep.
So check it all out at opera.org.au. Michael Honeyman, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rodons on Joy 94.9. We're both going to the Pride Cup this weekend, aren't we?
That was a very Aussie voice, wasn't
it? Yeah,
very
wasn't
manly.
It? Very.
I liked it.
Footballers.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Well, they're not all like that, though, are they?
Well.
Some are, you know, there'd be some gay ones, wouldn't there?
I imagine there are.
I think one day they'll come out, won't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that it really matters up to you what you do, isn't it?
Mm, I'm excited, though, to go down to the Pride Cup this weekend.
I am.
You are?
I'm not really.
No, why not?
Because I'm nervous.
About?
Doing the national anthem.
You are singing the national anthem as Michael Dalton prior to the Pride Cup.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be as Dolly, which always gives me a little bit more confidence because you can sort of... I mean, I don't think you'd ever mess about with the national anthem.
You can't.
Not really.
No, because that could potentially be filmed and go viral.
No.
Imagine that.
You're making it worse.
I'm going to film it, actually.
I got you to download the lyrics for me. Do you say lyrics if it's in the anthem?
I said to you, I'm sure you know them. And you're like, no, I don't. I tried this morning. I don't know them.
Don't know them, no.
Wow.
No, I mean, I know a lot of it, but not all of it.
Yeah.
And I think you need to know all of it.
Well, with this song, you do. Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, it's been okay in other times, but with this song, you definitely need
to
know.
I think I lose it when our land abounds.
Oh.
You know why you know? Because you did it in school every day.
Yeah, definitely. Well, not every day. Just on a Monday at my school.
Was it?
Yeah. And then as a kid, we'd get dragged along to the grand final.
Right. How awful.
I would get so bored that I'd be looking in the footy record and they were there, the lyrics. And they'd always have, even though at the football, they've never sung two verses. verses. In the football record, they used to put both verses in.
Maybe it's a mark of respect.
Maybe it is, but that meant that I, you know, would learn two verses while, you know, Hawthorn's beating Geelong.
You're amazing.
And everyone's going crazy.
You are amazing.
Mum, when can we go home?
Yeah. It's when you see you didn't like it back then.
No, my dad used to say that the only reason I would go to the grand final was to watch pre-match entertainment.
Wasn't wrong, was he?
Nah.
No, but it's, I mean, it's obviously going to be an amazing day.
Yeah.
And open to everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, everyone can go. And I am looking forward to it. Obviously, it's going to be brilliant and good on them as well.
Yeah,
all and it's actually going to be nice weather.
It's going to be great. All of the details are online, so make sure you check it out. Pride Cup this weekend at the Yarra Valley.
Yep, all on the Joy website.
Yep. Now, don't forget to get your entries in if you want to go and see the Whitney Houston story, The Greatest Love of All, this Friday night. It's opening night at the Athenaeum Theatre.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
Whitney.
I'm going to go.
Yes.
And, if you're there, say g'day.
Yep, but I'm going to be at the football, ironically.
Oh, how ironically.
I know.
Hi, this is Michaela Bannis, and you're listening to the delicious Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, Mika going out to David. You are with the Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
I bumped into her the other night.
Michaela Bannis.
Yes.
About to do an NTC play.
Wow. We'll have to get her in.
All right. Done.
Why wouldn't we?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't we? Now, do you know what? Go on.
What?
I think so. Something.
No.
I just read, because I think this music coming up in a bit, but I love a bit of George Michael.
Yeah.
Now he's one, isn't he?
He is indeed.
He's been one for a while. And we drove by the area where he was in the toilets.
Right, in LA.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go in?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't need to go, you know.
Why? He didn't need to go?
No.
Either did he.
Well, no. Well, I certainly wouldn't be doing that there.
No.
Don't do that sort of thing.
No, you go outside.
Not anymore.
You go outside.
Right.
That. Yeah.
But yeah, it's all interesting. You can obviously, if you're in America, you can do, you know, take you around and show you all the celebrities died and things like that. I wouldn't want to do that.
That is, and I've been to LA as well, and they try to sell you, you know, come and see Dr. Phil's house.
Yeah, right.
I don't necessarily want to see Dr. Phil's house.
No.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're going in for lunch.
No. Oh, I did go to the taping of the tour. Talk.
So what is the talk?
It's
a bit like the circle or like
yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean
it is exactly like that.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. The View, a bit like The View.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sharon Osbourne and Sarah Gilbert, who was in, you know, Roseanne,
yes.
The daughter.
Yeah.
She's
a lesbian, isn't she?
She's a lesbian, yeah. Yes. And it was good, you know. I was, you know, treated really well.
Because I
went through Chris's people, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, yeah.
And loads of giveaways.
All right. Well, did you all get like a little goodie bag?
Yeah, because I had a cookbook.
Oh.
Which I gave away, you know. A Mother's Day book, because it was Mother's Day.
Oh.
I got four massive bags of Lindt chocolate balls.
Oh, my God. Did you eat them all during the course of the trip?
No. Or? Well, it looks like I did, but no.
No.
And some perfume for Dolly.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Some Marc Jacobs.
Oh, lovely.
I know. I've been using this old shit for so long.
Perfect.
It's time to. Now Dolly's got some perfume.
Oh, God. Great.
Leave it.
Jeez.
I mean, I love a goodie bag.
Were you sort of hoping that it was going to be a little Oprah, like, you're all getting a new car?
Well, obviously, but no, I thought it probably wouldn't.
The goodie bag is good enough.
I'd actually got into the audience of Ellen.
Right.
But they were doing a Mother's Day special.
Oh.
So I couldn't do it. So if I go back, I'll go to Ellen.
What do you mean, though? Oh, so it was later than what it would normally be. Oh, right.
Yeah, to be a mother.
Oh.
I said, I'll go Dolly.
You could have.
They wouldn't let me.
Everyone on that show got a $250 Target voucher.
See?
I'm not making that up.
No.
Yeah.
I know, she always gives good prizes.
Yeah, oh well, next time.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.